Have you ever watched something, I don't know, maybe just two simple shapes moving on a screen, and you instantly feel like you know their story? You just sort of get what they're thinking or
Oh,
feel
absolutely. It's quite something, isn't it?
Well, today we're doing a deep dive into this really fascinating scientific paper that looks right at that idea, social imagination, and how it shows up differently depending on brain conditions.
Yeah. And what's really clever here, I think, is the way they studied it. They used simple animated triangles.
Triangles.
Just triangles, yeah. To get these surprisingly deep insights into how people figure out social meaning. It really pushes how we normally measure something so complex, you know, like imagination.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The study looked at two main conditions, agenesis of the corpus callosum AGCC.
Mm-hmm, AGCC. That's a congenital thing where the main connection between the brain's hemispheres, the corpus callosum, is missing or incomplete.
Right. And the other was autism spectrum disorder, ASD. Now, both can involve difficulties with social understanding, right? What's the connection there?
Well, that's the interesting part. For a long time, people have noticed social challenges in both groups.
Mm-hmm.
With AGCC, maybe more trouble with things like sarcasm, non-literal language, or reading emotions.
Okay.
And with ASD, often challenges with attributing mental states, understanding what others might be thinking or feeling. That's the theory of mind aspect.
And you mentioned overlap.
Exactly. Mm. There's this known overlap where individuals with AGCC can also show autistic traits.
Yeah.
So this study looks at both and a neurotypical control group to compare.
This is where it gets really cool method-wise. They use something called the animations test. It sounds almost too simple. Tell us what actually happened.
It does sound simple.
Yeah.
So participants watch these short animations, just a big red triangle and a small blue triangle moving around.
Okay.
But the movements weren't random. They were designed very carefully to suggest social interactions. Some were pretty straightforward, goal-directed things like chasing or maybe dancing together.
Mm-hmm.
Others were more complex, designed to tap into that theory of mind, like one triangle trying to coax the other,
yeah,
or maybe surprising it, and the task. Just watch and then describe what you thought was happening.
So people are just talking about what they saw, giving these free-form descriptions.
Yep.
Which brings up a big question. How do you objectively measure something as, well, fuzzy as social imagination from just stories about triangles? I mean, subjective scoring must be really hard.
It is. And actually, this study found that traditional subjective scoring didn't show huge differences between the groups. It wasn't sensitive enough.
So what did they do?
They brought in the big guns, computationally speaking. Advanced linguistic analysis, specifically two techniques, topic modeling,
okay,
which helps find like hidden patterns and themes in lots of text,
yeah,
and also LIWC, linguistic inquiry word count, which counts different word categories like emotional words, cognitive words, social words, gives you a much more objective look.
And this led them to the key finding about perplexity. That sounds kind of academic. Can you break that down for us? What does perplexity actually mean here?
Yeah, it sounds complex, but the idea is pretty straightforward. Think of it like predictability. A low perplexity score means someone's description was very much like the average, the typical way neurotypical people describe the scene. Very conventional.
Okay, standard response.
Right. But a higher perplexity score, that means the description was more unique. More diverse. It suggests the person generated more sort of imaginative possibilities, going beyond just the most obvious interpretation.
Wow. Okay. So higher perplexity means more imaginative elaboration.
Exactly. More varied, richer descriptions. And guess what? The neurotypical controls, they had significantly higher perplexity scores for both the simpler and the complex animations. Their stories were just much more varied and, well, imaginative.
And the AGCC and ASD groups?
They showed lower perplexity, significantly lower. Which suggests their responses, even if they basically understood the interaction, like chasing, were more conventional, less elaborated. It points towards maybe a core difficulty in generating that range of imaginative possibilities.
That's a really interesting way to quantify it. But were the AGCC and ASD groups identical in this?
No. Mm. And this is another key finding. There were subtle but important differences. While both groups showed less imaginative elaboration than the controls, the deficit, this lower perplexity, was actually more pronounced in the AGCC group, especially for those simpler goal-directed animations, like the chasing or dancing.
Really? More pronounced than the ASD group for the simpler ones?
Yeah, a bit surprising, maybe. The ASD group actually showed slightly more imaginative responses, higher perplexity than the AGCC group in those simpler scenarios.
What does that suggest to them?
Well, it suggests that while both conditions affect social imagination, maybe how they affect it differs. It could be that the broader cognitive challenges sometimes seen in AGCC impact imagination across more types of situations.
Whereas for ASD?
For ASD, the imaginative deficit might be more specifically tied to those really complex theory of mind scenarios.
Wow.
Ones requiring deeper inference about mental states.
Wow, that's such a nuanced picture emerging from just watching triangles.
It really is.
What an absolutely fascinating deep dive. This study is just such a great example of how, you know, new analytical tools can uncover these subtle but really important insights that older methods might just miss entirely.
Absolutely. It really makes you think, doesn't it? If these simple geometric shapes moving around can reveal such complex differences in how we imagine and interpret social life, well, what else might we be missing?
Yeah.
What other layers of human cognition, what richness are we not yet measuring simply because we haven't found the right lens like these computational tools to see it? Makes you wonder.